Freeway. Yeah, good morning, North State. Welcome to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, October the 15th. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning. It is 7:05 in the morning. Our phone line's here at 530-605-4567, and you can chat with us at KCNR1460.com. Good morning. We're almost halfway through this month. It's going to be a great day. We're going to talk about that in a few minutes. We got lots of good stories. We have number of guests today, including Mayor Patrick Jones, if he made it back from his hunting trip. Yeah, you know, just wanted, you know, he's coming back, and we've got the rest of them next week, and going to finish this up with a huge flurry of political stuff so people can have as much information as possible when they vote. Because there was an article I saw that about people voting not understanding the way the propositions are done, the way they're written. So we're going to talk about propositions. We're going to talk about all that stuff in the next couple of weeks. And today, you know, at Tobacco and Brew at noontime, we've got Gary Cadd. He's going to be there. So join us at noon for lunch and a chance to ask the candidate a question. So, but right now, we're being joined by Bad Bob, who's doing, I'm not sure what Bad Bob's doing. What are you doing, Bad Bob?
Changing glasses. It comes with age, you know.
Changing, but that looked like you were like, I thought you were putting on deodorant or something here, which would also be appreciated. And
reaching for something for a pretty long time underneath that vest.
Yeah, it sounded like you were looked like you're having a lot of fun under there, Bob. Bob, you're not answering. Speaking of having a lot of fun, Linda.
There's nowhere to go with it, but down.
And speaking of a lot of fun, here's Linda.
Hey, I am fun. We had a great time last night on the show. Oh, my gosh. I had no idea when we brought in Harry Richies is doing a breast cancer awareness bracelet with a chameleon. But anyway, they've got they gave away 10 sets of pearl earrings last night and 2 bracelets, which was just really kind of way.
No pearl necklaces.
They 10 pearl earrings, excuse me.
Oh, earrings. Okay.
Okay, well, the weather today is going to be high today. Mostly sunny with a high of 85. It's currently 63 degrees. I have to look across the room with my glasses.
We have to go around Bob's head.
I have something I want to share with you this morning. I think it's great to start off our Friday morning with this. In a study involving a group of lovelorn Stanford undergrads, researchers discovered that high-octane romantic love might be a natural analgesic.
Analgesic.
Thank you. Love's painkilling effect isn't just that the person is distracted by thoughts of the loved one, although that works too. Instead, the researchers found that feeling head over heels activates the same dopamine-oriented centers of the brain that tune in to illicit drugs such as cocaine.
Well,
there's a song written about that too, you know.
What? My Leg Hurts?
Cole Porter.
Oh. My Leg Hurts, Kiss Me?
Go to My Head, I think at one time cocaine was in there.
Oh, okay.
But anyway, so that's interesting, and that is true. I think that that is probably you want to bottle that high. When it's there, it's such it's an incredible high when you first fall in love with somebody. And are you in love with any of the candidates?
I'm not.
Are you in love with any of the propositions? Are you in love with this time that's going on right now? We need to take your calls here, find out. It's just really gotten to be, I stepped away from it a little bit yesterday, but not really.
We were in the middle of it yesterday.
Yep.
You know, the thing is that it's not so much what things, you know, that it's not so much that certain things are being said. But I like to think of Reading as being above this mudslinging, in your face, not only do I disagree with you, I'm going to knock you down, kick you, burn you, and then eat you, type of mentality. And this happened yesterday on the View. You know, ordinarily, the last thing, my friends, I promise you, the last thing I would watch on TV, I would watch Oprah. I would watch Dr. Phil. I'd watch the Cartoon Network before I'd watch The View. But I've had so many emails sent to me saying, you got to look at this. So Alana Burke sent me one. And I believe Alana, that she was all bubbling over with this, so I played it. And what happened is O'Reilly was on there with, Barbara Walters and Joey Behar and Whitney Goldberg.
Whoopi.
Whoopi. Woody Allen, not Woody Allen.
Whoopi Goldberg. Whoopi
Goldberg, I'm sorry. And I've liked Whoopi in a
the
couple
whole,
movies.
The cast. Yeah, yeah. The
and Whoopi,
of The View.
And Whoopi has taken different stands on things, so it's hard to say I always disagree with Whoopi Goldberg, because I don't. But in this case, O'Reilly says, they're talking about building a mosque down there at Ground Zero, which I find abhorrent. Do they have the right? Of course. Do I find it totally wrong morally and in conscience? Yes, I find it wrong. So O'Reilly, during this, you know, they're having this heated argument, and O'Reilly says, you know, that, you know, 9/11 caused by, you know, that we were attacked by Muslims. Well, Whoopi Goldberg starts cursing, and Joy Behar starts yelling, and they stand up, and they say, well, that didn't happen. And then he says, are you saying that we were not attacked by Muslims? Oh, no, they were just terrorists. They were Islamic fundamentalists. And then they get up and they walk out. And Barbara Walters, you know, who I've never really thought of as being the voice of sanity, but says, you know, this is what's wrong. He says, you said something they disagreed with. They start yelling. They stand up. They yell some more, and they leave. That's what's wrong. If they disagreed with you, they should have sat here and discussed this thing civilly and at least agreed to disagree, at least to be able to talk about it. And she said, and with that in mind, Bill, you're wrong. And so she went after O'Reilly that way. And I think O'Reilly eventually said, okay, yes, they were Muslims, but they were the Islamic terrorist form of Muslims.
He was saying 70 in a poll, 70% of
yeah,
Americans
70% of the
do not want that
do
mosque.
Do not want that mosque. You're right, absolutely right. So anyway, Behar and Goldberg come back. I think that we're heading in that direction where we have, you know, where we should be above that. Reading should be above that. Argue the facts. Argue what's right on from your side. You know, nobody has said political ads need to be sweet and love and roses. That's not it. But they shouldn't be personal attacks. They shouldn't be saying things that once they're checked on and going, well, you know, that's kind of a that's pretty sketchy there. They should be, you know, they should be stating your position, stating what your opponent says, and then why your opponent's wrong. That's what you missed yesterday.
Well, I think what we're experiencing here is that when this election is over and, you know, propositions are put in place, we live here. And live here, we share this community. And if there's a fine line of when you get into hatefulness, nastiness, and that's very hard to get over when you're in a think about that. The things that you say and the things that you do, 2 or 3 months from now, you're going to be in a theater, you're going to be in a restaurant. How is your family going to look at another's family if you engage in this kind of action?
Yeah, you know. And
at the end of the day, is it really the right thing to do?
And the other thing too,
morally,
you said it perfectly here, is that this thing's going to be over on November 2nd. This is over. So what happens is our city has to come together and solve our economic problems that everybody agrees we have. Nobody is disagreeing that we have to change things. But now we've got it, you know, everybody's ire is so high that, well, I'm not going to talk with them. I'm not going to talk with them. Well, you know, yes, you are. Yes, you will talk to them. Because that's the other side. And if your side that you want to be elected doesn't win, guess what? You're going to talk to the other side. So you need to be able to work together. And if you start burning bridges now, you're not going to help the community. And guess what, people that are running? It's the community that counts, not your feelings, not your personal emotions. It's the community that pays the salaries, that gets impacted. That's what you have to worry about. We got to take a break. Carl in the Bot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. CNR 1460. We're here. Carl and the Bot. It's 7:18 in the morning. You can call us at 605-4567 or chat with us at KCNR1460.com. Bob, is the chat room open or is this just my imagination?
We're rechecking, and it didn't connect the first time.
Let's reconnect there to make sure. Because, you know, what I was talking about, my friends, was this. After the election, we the people in this community are the ones that are going to get impacted by a very small percentage of people. You know, the city council, three people. They need a minimum of three people. And on the other side is the negotiators for the city workers. And by the way, you'll never hear me say a bad thing about city workers. Every time I've been out, you know, or I've needed something or needed anything, and going up to the windows, anything, nothing but great service. So don't even get there with me. We're talking about now is the rancor during the elections, up to the elections. But after it's over, that group of people who are throwing darts at each other are there to represent we, the people, us, and to take care of what we need to make this city better. That's all I'm saying, and that's all, you know, Linda, is, you know, it's all we've been saying is, hey, you got to get along after this thing's over, and don't burn any bridges now.
Yeah, if you're just tuning in, it's 7:19 in the morning. We want to let you know it's 62 degrees. It's going to be high today of 85, mostly sunny. And it's to change the subject and go into something that is really a feel-good thing. We have Jim Bremer with us to talk about flying.
Yeah, about Young Eagles flights. We have them coming up tomorrow. We do this usually a couple of times a year. I'm president of the local chapter of the Experimental Aircraft Association. And this time we're teaming up with the Corning chapter. We're going to be holding the flights out of the Red Bluff Airport. And what it is, it's a volunteer effort. We have local pilots volunteer their time and their airplanes to take kids flying for the first time, maybe second time. But, I mean, just to get kids interested in aviation. And it's free for anybody, any young person between the ages of 8 and 17. We do have to have a parent or guardian there to sign the paperwork and so on.
You know, I'm not sure about this being president of the Experimental Aircraft Association there, Jim. I mean, experimental means experiment, right?
Yeah, and actually...
Which means it's not like done. This is not the airplane.
It's a work in process. And what happened really was back in the early 50s, the organization was formed. It is a national organization. We're a local chapter of the EAA. But a bunch of guys got together, and actually the FAA changed some rules. And they allowed people to build their own airplanes. And even today, there are people out there even designing and building their own airplanes from scratch. Now, a lot of the airplanes you see now, so-called home builds, are actually kit airplanes, where you buy, you know, so much of it assembled. The FAA says you still have to put at least 51% of the work into it. Otherwise, it's like buying a plane.
So you buy an airplane in a box, right?
Pretty much. It's kind of like a bunch of big boxes.
Is this kind of like the bookcases you buy... Yep. And essentially what happens, you're missing two screws.
Yeah, slot A, tab B, and those little cam things you have to...
And then you put your butt in that and fly?
Pretty much, yeah. Well, but there are FAA inspections that have to be gone through. It has to be inspected by the FAA. They don't just let you go out and build something and take it out and fly it. And there's strict regulations and inspections that have to be done all the way through the process.
Okay.
So it's not like you could think. And many of our members, and many EAA members nationwide, are not home builders. They don't want to build their own airplane. They're just pilots and aviation enthusiasts who just want to go out and fly and enjoy it and share the experience, especially with young people.
So this is called the Young Eagles Flight.
Yes.
It's all about aviation, learning about aviation, getting kids 8 to 18 interested in aviation.
8 to 17, yeah.
8 to 17.
Yeah, and I read a survey a while back, or a study that was done, that about 5% of kids who go up for Young Eagles flights actually go on to become pilots at some point in their lives.
That's great.
And I thought, you know, 5%, that's not very much. But on a typical Saturday, like tomorrow, we'll probably fly 100 young people. So if 5 of those people turn out to be pilots, you know, they're going to carry on the tradition and keep aviation, general aviation.
What a wonderful experience for a kid.
Okay, now one more time.
Yeah.
Where's that?
It's tomorrow at the Red Bluff Airport. If you go down I-5, look for, I forget what exit it is. It's toward the south end of Red Bluff. You'll see a sign that says airport, green sign. Just follow the signs. And we'll be taking sign-up starting at 8:30. The flights will be going on from 9 until noon. And I should say there is a limited number of kids that we can take up because we don't want to, you know, tax our pilots' time, you know, all day. So it'll be 9 to noon, and we'll probably sign up about 100 kids. And when those flights are filled, then that's going to be it. So get there early. So.
Okay, one other thing we want to do before we go to a break here is, you know, right in the middle of transitioning our shows from one type of satellite receiver to another.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't even begin to tell you the technology that goes along with this thing. phone calls, hooking things up, dropping other things, so that we can continue to receive the shows that we have. And we've got several of these receivers. Jim Brimmer has put all this stuff together here in the last week. And we want to just thank you so much.
Well, you know, keep, your fingers, keep your fingers crossed.
Well, if we're at 10, I tell you, at 10:06 last night, I'm standing there getting ready to run out of the house to come down here and push a button in case it didn't work, and it worked. So, you know, Jim, it was a great job and a great effort on your part. And we just want to thank you from our, you know, our family here, our Casey and our family.
Well, it takes a team for sure to get this radio station up and on and working 24 hours a day. And thank you so much for. And people need to know that you come in at 2 or call at 4, and you always have your ear tuned to the problems of how to problem start. Mm-hmm. So I would say up in the air with Jim.
Yeah, you know what? Yeah, I would feel safe with Jim in the air.
Actually, I'm not flying tomorrow. I'm going to be taking pictures and doing some other things on the ground.
Well, you know, our whole team here, you know, Bob sits here every morning, takes our abuse. You get, you know, people you don't see, like Ann, who does all the trafficking and logging, comes in here and does, you know, does so much around here, and Tammy and sales.
And Bob does production and does Bob so much with computers.
Yeah, there's just
Eric
so much.
And Chandler. We have a great team
everybody.
Here.
Right? Yeah.
And we have great leaders as well.
You know what?
Thanks
we could have never
too.
Done this without you all, that's for sure. Okay, enough of this. Enough of these hugging and everything.
Patting on the back.
Okay, tomorrow I'll go down and get flown around in Red Bluff. Hey, we got to take a breath. Take a breath and a break. Carl Lindebach.
When we come back, we're going to be talking to Brian, a wonderful new business here next to the Cascade Theater that's all about wines, chocolates, and cheeses. We'll be right back. Good morning, Reading.
Yeah, welcome back.
It's Friday. Does it feel good?
October 15th, 7:28 in the morning.
Okay, a mountain lion was seen roaming across the middle of the Gold Hills Golf Course this week. The Department of Fish and Game and the Reading Police Department are warning residents that a mountain lion is seen in the area of the Gold Hills neighborhood. Well,
don't let your cats out at night.
Shoot.
Don't let your kids out at night. You know, it's funny. We still see that. You know. I've played golf in areas where if you're playing early in the morning, you'll see wild animal tracks across the sand traps. Okay, this is going to be a short segment because we overdid our last ones, so we're here for a minute. You know, it's funny. We're having a. If you remember back, where we had music being played by the ice cream guy, and then somebody complained about it, and the police came, and because it was a citizen's arrest, they had to do something, so now they're trying to do something about the noise level at the between the ice cream guy and the people in the neighborhood. Well, one person in the neighborhood.
I just want to break in there and say that, you know, for the people in the chat room, I want to let you know the screen is up. It is on.
We lost all those questions, though.
No, I've got them. Okay. All right, so we've got questions. We're going to take a break.
Scribbles and guests, we're going to get back to you, and we'll be answering those questions when Mr. Jones comes through.
Yeah. Okay, this is Carl and Linda Bott here on Free Fire Radio. This is KCNR 1460.
KCNR 1460, Carl and Linda Bott. It is 7:34 in the morning, October 15th. Let's go. You know, every Friday we get a phone call from Amy Palko from Adamson's Peak Performance telling us how to be fit, how to be in great shape, how to live and enjoy life. Amy, good morning.
Hi. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, Linda. How are you guys?
I'm good. Well, we've been on the run, but we're so thrilled to have you call in and share with our listeners what give us a weekend a tidbit of what to keep, how to keep fit.
Okay, well, today, and hopefully you guys can hear me okay because I'm on my crazy cell phone, but today I want to talk to you about picking your protein. So what I want to tell people is that just replacing one serving of red meat a day with, say, poultry or fish or nuts, it can also lower your risk of heart disease. There is this, there's a study that's out, and they're studying about 84,000 women between the ages of 30 and 55. And after 26 years, they found that those who consumed more red meat and had higher fat dairy had a higher risk of heart disease. And then those who ate more fish, poultry, and nuts had a lower risk. And they even went out to the different percentages, saying those who used nuts replaced their risk by 30%. Those who used fish decreased their risk by 24%. Those who used poultry, it was 19%. And those who used low-fat dairy, it was 13%. So the bottom line is try to eat more fish, poultry, nuts, and low-fat dairy instead of that red meat.
Wow. Okay. Well, yeah. that study was where?
That's the nurses' study. It's the nurses' health study. It's been going on for several years, and they got 84,000 women that they track, and they track over a wide variety of different things. So with having such a large population group, it's a pretty good study to be able to pull information from.
And if somebody wanted to look that up, how could we find it?
That was actually from the Circulation magazine, or you can get it from what's called the Nutrition Action Newsletter.
Oh, great. Well, we know that we wanted to share with our listeners, too, that, Amy, you are a licensed nutritionist, and you...
I have my degree in nutrition.
Right. And
my bachelor's degree, yes.
Right. So, but that means, okay, so license would be semantics, but what is
So that's actually a good question. There's different levels. I have a 4-year degree in nutrition, and then my next step is that I'm going on for my master's and will then sit for state boards and become registered, or actually national boards, and then state boards are licensed.
Okay,
so
great.
So it's actually like an examination you have to sit for and take tests. And so you've got a registered dietitian, and then underneath them is a licensed dietitian. And then they even have 2-year degrees, which are called dietetic technicians. So
you know what you're talking about. Is that what you're saying?
And you teach Shannon Simpson, and she's a wonderful trainer. And you just really have the whole body going on, your knowledge of inside and out, structure, muscle, food, how everything acts and works together.
Yeah. Thanks, guys.
Well, thank you, Amy. It's Amy Palko from Adamson's Peak Performance, our place that we work out, and I have a great time down there, and Amy tries not to hurt us too badly.
Amy, thanks for the call.
Thanks a lot, Amy.
You bet. Have a blessed weekend.
All right,
you
bet.
Hey, we're going to take a quick break here. Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Carl and Linda Bott, 7:41 in the morning. Our phone lines here are 605-4567, or you can chat with us on KCNR1460.com. Good morning. Hey, this portion of the show brought to you by B&T Satellite out on Airport Road. Doug Tooley and his guys are putting in Dish Satellite. They're putting in home and surround sound systems. Been in business since 1985. Buy local, stay local. His phone lines there are 244-1988. We use Doug, as do many of our listeners, and everybody's been happy.
As you know, we love to really advocate shop local, stay local, do your stuff local. And with us this morning is the owner, Brian Matthews of Market Street Wines. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Linda.
How are you?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Hi, I'm great. And I'm sure on the people haven't been there. You have a wonderful ambiance. You have chocolate, things to pair your wines with. How did you get involved with wines?
Well, I started out years ago as a chef. And, of course, owning a restaurant, you need to be able to pair wines with foods. So that was just a natural extension of what I was doing. Then we continued on and opened at a while ago, another wine store, and that was a little bigger than we needed. Now we've opened one that is just right for the downtown, and we're the last new kid on the block of the original demonstration block downtown.
Demonstration block?
Mm-hmm. That was the first block that was renovated with the new downtown plan, with the new streetscapes, the more pedestrian-friendly area. So, yeah, we were block one, and so we were the last of the vacancies to be filled on that block, and it's completely full now.
Now, if you're a cheese fan, which we are...
What?
Well, I'm just saying that before we go to a show at the Cascade, or we just feel like going down there to visit, there's chocolates. Mm-hmm. Several kinds of cheeses that, if you have never been introduced to different, such an array of cheeses, that's also a pairing cheese with the particular wines. Is that correct?
Oh, exactly right. We like to do that. We like to introduce new cheeses people haven't tried in the past. And that's the same thing we do with our wines, with everything in the shop, or new products, or products that haven't been seen in Reading or are not available elsewhere in Reading. So it's to please the Epicurious, I guess.
Epicurious.
You know, what I like is when you walk in, it's you know, the atmosphere is friendly, first of all. But then I don't drink wine a lot, and this is a fallacy on my part. I think I got burnt out on, like, what was that, that apple wine back when I was...
Annie Greenspan,
back when I was, like, 18. But, no, but when I came in and I told you that, I said, you know, I can't really drink a lot of red wine. And we talked about it a second. You said, you know, you need to try this kind. He said, it's a very light wine. Mm-hmm. And it sounds to me like, you know, if you get these ones with a bite, that doesn't do you any good. So you poured me a glass. And it absolutely was a great wine that I could drink and not feel bad afterwards. I mean, no, really. I mean, it only takes me one gulp of, or one swallow of certain wines, and that's it. That's it for me. But this was really good, and that's what I liked, is that you sit down and you talk to your customers to say, well, okay, now what are you really looking for? And then you know what you have and what you're serving does do that.
Absolutely.
I can't say too much about that.
Well, the idea is this business is about the patron, the customer, what it is they like, not what I like. Really it's to satisfy needs for the customer. And, yeah, we like to find out. Somebody says, well, you know, I only drink this thing or that thing. And we like to say, well, you know, have you tried this? And, of course, in the shop we do boutique wines, specialty wines from all around the state of California and a few from outside the state of California. But we like to get wine that's specific to the taste of the customer.
Let's talk about some of the specials that you have. I just happened to come in one night on a Wednesday night, and you had something that was really unusual. And would you share with our listeners what's going on Wednesdays and Thursday nights there at Market Street Wines?
Well, actually, it's Tuesday and Wednesday. Tuesday we do Tasty Tuesday. Every Tuesday is some sort of either an appetizer, dessert, course that's very simple to prepare but still is delicious and elegant. And then what we do is we then pair that with 3 2-ounce tastings of wine that maybe people think, well, you couldn't pair this with that, like red wine with fish, which we did I think 2 weeks ago, which turned out really, really well. Next week, getting ready for the fall season, we're doing pumpkin three ways on Tasty Tuesday, and then we'll pair that with 3 different wines. I haven't figured out what the three ways are yet, but that's my job, isn't it?
Okay, Brian. This kind of reminds me of this movie, City Slickers, when they're having ice cream. And the two guys that own 1,000 ice cream shops, and he says, challenge me, you know, challenge me. Okay, here you go. Venison.
Oh, venison, that's an easy one. Venison, anything big, red with venison, I would think Cabernet Sauvignon, that's probably the most accessible to everybody. Me particularly, I would have like a Petite Syrah, something that's got to go with the gaminess and the kind of the rich flavor of the venison, like like Petite Syrah with its nice fruitiness, a little bit of dark fruit in the front will pair really nicely and kind of not tame down, but actually accentuate the flavor of the venison.
Okay, how about pheasant?
Oh, pheasant, well, you can go kind of three ways with pheasant. Pheasant would be really nice with like a sparkling wine, a white, you know, a champagne, sparkling white, really nice with like a Pinot Grigio that would have sort of an acidic bite to it, and really well, again, with a dark red wine.
Okay. All right. So I have to think about this some more.
Asparagus.
Asparagus.
The worst dish in the world for wine. Asparagus, something really bright, you know, really sharp, like a Sauvignon Blanc, something like Sauvignon Blanc, something like that would work really well. But I would have something sort of buttery or olive oil on the asparagus to kind of key that off.
Okay, well, it's like trout with green beans almondine, huh?
Yeah.
Well, I, have and hopefully they're listening this morning, but I have we have a couple friends, and one couple in particular that are very big red wine lovers, and her birthday is coming up, and I got the bottle of wine for her birthday from your wine boutique, your Market Street Wines. I had to taste it first, of course, and then had to buy the bottle, but it was pretty spectacular. I won't give it away, but that's the kind of thing we're talking about here. Holiday season's coming up. Go in there and hang out. It's a beautiful place right next to the Cascade Theater, and you can also get chocolates.
Yes, made by Chocolate Dinanette, my lovely bride.
She is, and I'll tell you what, talk about somebody who has a chocolate calling.
Indeed. And they keep calling. That's a good thing. Yeah, we like that very much. Yes, we do feature chocolates from Chocolate Dinanette. Nanette's has been a feature in downtown since the mid-'80s, and we're very proud of the long run we've had with that, and we see it going for a long time into the future.
Well, we enjoy, we enjoy walking downtown since we live so close, and just being able to go, and newer places have been opened up, and it's nice to be able to go down and have a choice, and something besides a slice of pizza.
I have a final.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
No, final question for you. Okay, in these tough times, as people say, why did you open a business when times are tough? What possessed you to open up your wine store during these times?
Well, I think what we serve in the shop, wine, cheese, and chocolate. Even in tough times, these are still affordable luxuries. And we all need to be spoiled a little here and there. And so it's nice to be able to have something to offer to the folks that they can enjoy. It's affordable, it's delicious, and it's elegant. It's very nice.
Well, it is elegant. You say, wine, cheese, and chocolate. To Linda, those aren't luxuries.
These are the necessities.
Those are necessities. There will be no gas in the car.
Three vital.
I'll walk down the street.
She'll walk down and get the chocolate. Okay. Hey, our guest has been Brian Matthews.
Thanks,
from Market Street
Wines. Well, you need
Wine.
To feel elegant. Whatever you have to do.
Market Street Wines. Down there next to the Cascade Theater. Go down and meet Brian and go in there. You'll have a great time as we do. Carl and DeBott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
This is Good Morning North State. This is Carl and Linda Baugh here in KCNR 1460. Currently 61 degrees, going to be high today of 85. The weather is always brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards. Tonight, Candace Lavolsi is playing her beautiful harp out at the Vineyards. If you've not been out there in the five-star cuisine with Chef John Stadelli, 474-5546. So much going on this weekend.
There is. But first, let's go to the phones. Hey, Jay. Jay, you're on.
Good morning, Jay. You're on the lot. You're live.
Jay.
Hello, Jay.
Good morning. How are you today?
We're starting to wonder.
Turn down the radio.
Okay, Jay, you're on.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
We're good. Fine. What's on your mind?
Well, I apologize. I'm a little off subject because I went in the dead zone and had to call back, but I was calling about the ice cream truck harassment suit.
Okay. Yeah, talk about
is
that.
Is there anything that an honest person can do that someone can't mess up? Yeah. I mean, seriously, as a kid, that was the best sound in the world. My kids are like, ice cream, daddy, get us ice cream. And you're messing with that? I mean, if you tried to mess with me after I'm trying to make money $1 at a time in those trucks, and they get bad gas mileage, you would find a popsicle where the sun don't shine.
Well, it looks like now, right now that Reading allows sound trucks to run between 9 a.m. and 7 p.m. every day, but Sundays and holidays. The new law would permit them to run, all year round, but order them off the streets by 5 p.m. through the fall and winter, and by 7:30 p.m. through spring and summer. And
it's still light during the summer.
I know,
that's what
he said. Shutting down at 7:30 will take away 60% of his sales. So I guess...
That's just ridiculous.
You know what? How big a problem is this? That that it's front page news in Reading, which of course I guess it's better than, 12 killed and, in gang war. Still no harmony and ice cream quarrel be the first, lead off the leadoff headline. But that's, like I said, I'd probably rather that happen than have, you know, gang violence or something like that. But still, why would they do something like this? Why don't they listen to the guy and you look at his statistics and say, look, you know, if you don't want me on this street, just say so. And then all those people can suffer. But let the rest of us have the ice cream.
You know, people are getting killed in their homes in the hay fork. It's the Wild West in Trinity Pines. And we're harassing ice cream men?
Yeah.
Seriously? Really? You can't find something better to do.
Well, this is the city council here. Our city council is like, you know, we can't seem to figure out where to spend money and that kind of stuff. But, damn, we can take care of that ice cream.
That's some heinous stuff right there. Let me tell you. Wow. You know, when I think of things I'm scared of, it's the ice cream man. He really is. He comes at the top of the list. Let me tell you.
You know what? You know, it's because he's pushing that daggone swirly chocolate. You know, the swirly chocolate with the purple sprinkles on it. That could, you know, that could ruin our youth.
Oh yeah, we're talking sugar overload. They'll never be the same.
Well, you know, after you do Proposition 19, maybe he'll come in there and be selling his vanilla ice cream and Shasta Wowie.
I want to sell some ice cream, but I got high.
Yeah, that Cheech and Chong movie, Nice Dreams.
You know, anyway. This is,
have a great day, guys.
Okay, right. Hey, thanks a lot for your phone call.
You know, sometimes it just hurts so bad you got to laugh.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, you know, with modern technology, I finally listened to all the messages on my phone from yesterday and last night. It appears that Patrick Jones is still stuck someplace in Wyoming or got in really late last night. So we're not going to have him here today.
So we will debunk the speculation on the chat room that Jones looked at the chat, took one look at the chat room and declined to show up.
No. I had that, you know, obviously it was a call sometime yesterday afternoon, and I just didn't get it until now.
Was it stuck in cell?
It was stuck in cell heaven, I guess.
That happens, and I can't stand it.
I don't know
why
that
happens.
You know, and you ask him about it. You know, hey, you want your money?
He was calling from the fields of Wyoming or something. No,
anyway.
Well,
we're
going
to just
have
to punt. We just have a lot of things. We have open lines, so we can discuss some of these things anyway. You know, just the chat room comes up some really great questions. Doesn't mean we can't talk about it. So, but there's other things we need to talk about too. We can talk a little bit about the Proposition 19. We can talk about some of the things that are that Obama is facing right now, in the sense that the young voters are starting to have some questions about hope and change. And then there's some and about September 11th workers. Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, Alma Free Fire Media.
You're listening to KCNR Shasta Redding.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It is 8:05 in the morning, October 15th. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning. Our phone line's here is 605-4567. And you can chat with us at KCNR1460.com. Unfortunately, our guest, Patrick Jones, who called us yesterday in plenty of time, and I just didn't get the message, is not going to be here today at 8. Regardless of what some people are saying on the chat room, no, he's not running away from this. Like him or not like him, support him or don't support him. I haven't seen Jones run from too many things in my, since I've known him. So, but we do have an announcement here today. It's been an accident.
Carl, yes, down on Gas Point Road, and the cross point is Cary Lane, a bus versus car. We do not know whose bus. We do not know any other details other than that, other than there are possible fatalities. What we're going to ask is that please do not, and I'm going to ask this again, do not go to the scene. Gas Point Road at that location is extremely narrow, lots of emergency vehicles. CHP's major accident investigation team is on the scene. It is a pretty chaotic situation, so even if you have an interest, perhaps, don't go down there, and at least until some more details are available. As we get more details here at KCNR, we will pass them along, but we ask once again, don't go there.
Where's the location, Bob?
It is, once again, Gas Point Road at Cary Lane.
Okay, thanks. I hate to see that in the morning, but again, Gas Point Lane Road and Cary Lane, there's been an accident there. As we get more reports, we will pass them along to you. What, Linda?
Well, I mean, the chat room is full, and somebody asked a question. Carl, why do we need Proposition A and B?
Well, I go back to They originally were put on the ballots, from what I understand, to see what the people think. Neither one of them is, I believe, is a binding one. I think B may have a little more, you know, in it. But essentially, it's about changing the way that unions are paid and their health care and that. I go back when I look at Proposition A and B, and I think, you know, what was the reasoning behind it? And is this something? Is this if it goes and A is passed, A's passed, B's not, A and B are passed, A and B don't pass, what impact is this really going to have? If it's a squeaker, does this mean that, you know, like if it's a 59-49 or some, you know, or I'm sorry, 50-49, does that mean that that's a overwhelming support for these? No, I'm not sure. It gets back to kind of when we had the problem in REU and people being thrown out from their houses, even though the problem wasn't that bad, but it was still a problem in the way that REU did business. Instead of selling it at the city council level, we had a committee that, and we said it right then, hey, this is going to last for 6 months, and it did, and they came out and they had some good ideas. Two of which were used, or three of which were incorporated in REU, and then those two of the three were immediately negated as soon as the economy went down. So the fact is that the city council is the one that has to make that final decision. You know, do we need a Proposition A and B out there? I'm not sure about that. You know, what does it do? And it gets right back down to it. It's the city council who votes on this. And you know, if they want the community, what the community thinks, okay. But do you see having a referendum on every big decision that comes along? Should we vote on Oasis? Should we have voted on Springwater, Stillwater, and that? So it's kind of it's kind of a question. Like,
yeah, there's
that.
A school of thought that says every major decision should be put out to the people, but why have a council?
Well, that's it. You know, you vote for these people to do a job. And so it's, you know, if you don't like the job they do, you let them hear about it and you vote them out the next time. Having referendums or, you know, initiatives all the time may not be the best way of running a state or a county or a city. We've got to take a break here. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Phone lines here, 605-4567, and you can chat with us, as many of you are doing, at kcnr1460.com, getting into little arguments in there. And a question in the record searchlight, and it's an informal survey. You know that Congressman Wally Herger was challenged to a debate by Republican Pete Stiglitz back during the primaries, and Wally said, I'm not going to get into an intramural firefight here. I'm not going to, you know, debate with another Republican. Okay. I think, you know, I mean, okay, the congressman doesn't have to. I can, you know, I see what his reasoning is, because he doesn't have to. First of all, he doesn't have to debate him, but now he's running against Jim Reed, the Democrat, and we've had Reed on a couple of times on the show here, and he has challenged Congressman Herger to several debates, none of which have happened. But there was going to be one set up on KIXE here during, I think, October 25th or somewhere around there. Reed came out and said on a, I don't know if it was on an internet radio show, or he said it where he believed that Wally Herger was showing signs of Alzheimer's. And he said that he'd been told this by Charlie Schaff, who runs against Nielsen, who is a Republican. And this came out in a blog, I believe it was Bruce Ross, I think. Charlie Schaff immediately wrote and said that that wasn't true. He never said that. But then Herger's campaign canceled the debate with Reed. And my question is Herger, who is our representative, is he bound to have a debate with his opponent? Should he have a debate with his opponent? Should his opponent saying something like this be the reason to cancel the debate? or is this just something that Congressman Herger is using as an excuse to say, you know what, why give you a platform? You know, why give you a platform so that you can come back and, you know, and, you know, that I don't need to do? And, or does he, is he really truly, does he really say, hey, look, if you're going to take this kind of tack, I don't need to dignify appearing with you in a publicized debate? I'd like to hear what you think about that. The other thing, too, is that, you know, again, we go back into, you know, how things are handled politically. To say that your opponent could be suffering from a mental disease is pretty rough, unless you've got some, like, really good evidence there, or you've got something that, you know, somebody that says, hey, I'm with this man all the time, you know, he doesn't know what he's doing, you know, blah, blah, blah. You know, not knowing what he's doing is not a good enough excuse. I mean, that would that would cover so many people. I don't think this guy knows what he's doing. Yeah, I'm not talking about her. I'm talking about anybody.
Well, you know how sometimes things are blown out of proportion, Carl. I mean, you could just go, God, is he slow? And then the next thing you know, somebody's there with their pad and pencil saying, somebody accused somebody of not, you know, having all their mental facilities. You know what? Can we change subjects? Can I talk about something that's just got me completely,
yes, but if anybody wants to call or chat in about this, of course they can do that. 605-4567. Should Wally Herger, should he debate Jim Reed? Or is he right in saying, no, I'm not going to do it because I don't like what he said. It's so patently untrue. Okay, next subject.
Okay. Mexico has ended the search for that American. Remember the couple that were out on their, what are they called, their watercrafts, and he was shot. I think they held her. I don't know the exact details,
he was shot by a reported pirate gang member. She tried to save, you know, pull him back onto the watercraft. She couldn't do it. She went back to the United States side. They could not get the Mexican authorities to...
They cannot find the watercraft and or the body, and they have stopped the search.
Right, and then the policeman that was in charge of it was killed and his head cut off.
Okay, brutally murdered. Yeah. No kidding. Head in a suitcase. That's like, you know. Anyway, so I, you know, my thought goes right to the wife. How this young woman has to feel this nightmare that there. Where's the resolve? I mean, she has no body. They can't find out where he... I mean, you can only just imagine what they did with the body.
How hard did the United States try to get into this, too? You know? I mean, this is an American citizen killed. They couldn't even get the boat out. They wouldn't accept our boat, and Mexico wouldn't. The one guy that was going to handle it gets killed, his head cut off. So, Homeland Security.
It's very political.
Janet, what are you doing with that, huh? Hey, let's go to the phones. Coach Bob, good morning.
Good morning to you, too.
All right. How you doing, Coach Bob?
Can't complain too much. I joined this chat room a little late, so I'm not up to speed on what the big discussion is. Quite a battle going on. It's interesting.
Oh yeah, you know, once it starts, it's no holds barred on that thing.
Wow, we just up speed.
We just look at it and we look at it and just try to, you know, catch every third sentence as long as the computer's not on fire. It started when Jones was going to be on the show today, and then he called yesterday, and I just didn't get the message till this morning.
He's in Wyoming. He's detained.
Yeah, someplace. So, anyway, what do you want to talk about?
Okay, a couple of fast things. One's a question. I'll save it for a moment. But in regards to Reed and Herger, naturally, Herger, any kind of debate, has absolutely everything to lose and not a single thing to gain. You wouldn't go into business if you couldn't make a profit. He couldn't make a profit by engaging in a debate with Jim Reed. He could only lose. Jim Reed is a distant, very distant, trailing him in the running here, and he's resorting to desperation, making accusations of Alzheimer's.
I think that's
like
what
saying,
he said. Yeah.
Carl, do you still beat your wife? Well, how do you answer that?
No, I don't have Alzheimer's.
Well, no.
Yeah, I know,
I
know.
Linda, because I think she could take you.
That's right. You know, and in fact, I don't even get close to beating her because I have to go to sleep at night at some point.
I know all about that. Anyway, I think it would be nice to have a debate, but in Herger's position, if it was a close race, he'd be debating. But he doesn't have to. So Why even risk it? So he's going to make some people mad because he doesn't. Oh, well, they're mad anyway, and they're probably going to vote for Reid regardless. It doesn't make any difference.
Yeah, you know, and with and I understand completely what you're saying is he has nothing to gain.
Nothing.
And he gives a platform. And then what if there is something that comes out in a debate that could be a I don't know what it would be, but it could be a complete shift.
He could make some dumb comment offhandedly and not mean it, and all of a sudden it's front page news.
That's right.
Yeah, that's why he has nothing to gain.
Yeah. Okay.
Now, quick, fast question.
Great.
I was reading with a lot of interest this ice cream nonsense that's going on.
Yeah.
What does the city clerk, what does their position have to do with making any regulations concerning stuff? I read where the city clerk was recommending XYZ times and whatnot. I guess I don't know what the city clerk's job is if they're requesting or suggesting or making regulations regarding times and stuff like that that a business can operate.
That's a good point.
I'm puzzled by that.
Yeah, why would it be the city clerk? Isn't there something that there's one that does regulations, rules and regulations and things? Or it's
I don't know. You'd think so.
Maybe,
but I'm
maybe it
curious,
is the city clerk.
You know, adding to that conversation, I'm curious. We have construction equipment rules, you know, not too early in the morning and not too late at night. And generally, you know, if I live next door to you and I'm playing loud music out of my open windows, there's a point at which I have to turn it down.
Yeah.
And I don't know what that time is, but I'm going to suggest it's probably somewhere around dark. And if that's the case, why can't the same law apply to the silly ice cream machine?
You know, to me, you know, during the summer, it doesn't get dark to what, 8:30 or 9?
Yeah.
Why would you take it? It's like saying, okay, it's Christmas. It's the day after Thanksgiving, the largest shopping day really in the year. Right. Hey, you got to shut your stores at 6.
Exactly. Yeah. And I agree with this guy Hofstetter that, you know, he probably does it most of his business just before sundown. That's when the kids come out. They're out playing anyway, trying to get in the last couple hours of playtime before mom and dad holler.
Yeah.
And
what's wrong with local sense?
It's just absurd to put a 7:30 or 8 o'clock limit on that when you still got a couple hours of daylight. You know, what's that saying? You make
taking,
day when the sun shines. Well,
exactly.
Yeah, yeah. You do.
You're taking away 2 hours of livelihood.
And, you know, the other thing, too, is
for the wrong reason.
Yeah, you know, and it is. And again, it's something that, you know, the city gets into it because somebody complained. One person complained. Okay, one person complained.
Has created all of this hullabaloo.
One person.
My God, I wish I had that kind of power.
And so because of that, okay, so now let's make a rule and let's not really think about it. Let's just do it. You know, this is why, is anybody in charge? Of the city clerk.
Apparently, the city clerk is.
Well, you know, the other thing we asked Rick Bassetti. I said, "Well, if you know if these things are going on and they're going wrong, then why don't you fix them?" Well, you know, the city manager does that. Okay, hey Kurt, go down and see the city clerk and say, "Hey, why don't we just let this thing open till sunset, local sunset?" So, okay, hey Coach Bob, we got to run.
You guys have a great weekend. Bye.
Yeah, thank you too. Hey, Carl Lindebach, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Yeah, welcome to the home of Free Fire Media, Carl Lindebach. It's 8:27 in the morning, and guess who just rolled in, covered in antelope blood and camouflage. Mayor Patrick Jones. Oh, good morning.
Good morning, Carl.
I got your message. You know, I thought, okay, you know, I got it late, but I thought, okay, that's, you know, it happens.
Well, as you know, most of this week, as always, I take an annual trip to Wyoming for antelope hunting. This year we had 27 hunters. We had an excellent time, but it was you know, quite a few folks. We had one truck breakdown. We had one of my good friends had a hard time breathing, so we had to get him into the hospital. So we were coming in a little bit late into town. I didn't get in until early this morning at around 2, and I was just running on juice, and that's why I was telling you yesterday, or I called you yesterday to say I was going to be a little late.
Well, you know, and I appreciate the phone call. Of course, it was one of those things that sometimes that phone stores messages for like 6 hours for some reason. If I don't get them right then, I'd usually check the next.
And we really did miss you, Carl. We had a lot of good folks from Redding, but we missed you out there in the plains of Wyoming. We had a great time.
Well, you know, I do really enjoy antelope hunting, but one of the things, as everybody knows, is that when you get into a business, that you know, that's what you do. You do your, you know, you keep that business going, and that's what this is our This is our baby here. We're making it grow.
Well, and that's why I drove 16 hours to get back to my business, too, because you can only take off so long. And that's, it's hard to do each year. I do it once a year. I miss about 3 to 4 days of work. And it's tough because we've got our businesses, and you know about that.
Yeah, I do. We've got we've got a caller. And I tell you, let's bring Ray on. Hey, Ray?
Hey, Carl.
Hey, good morning, Ray. Hey, Ray, we've only got a minute and a half. Do you mind hanging on till after the news?
If my reception hangs in there, you bet.
Okay, because we want to have you on, we want to talk with you, and you know Patrick Jones is here now, but I just don't think a minute and a half will even begin to cover what everything we're going to be talking about.
Fair enough, I appreciate that.
Okay, yeah, no problem. That's all. Okay, we'll put you back on hold. Make sure we don't lose him, Bob. Okay. So you got back, and a lot of people going out there on the antelope hunts.
Yeah, we had 27 hunters here from Redding and a lot of good folks. And I like to take as many people as I possibly can, and just a real good time. But I needed to get back, and it was tough to go this year because of the election and all that's happening here at that city.
Sure.
And so I did want to get back to work, get back to City Hall, and see what's happening in the last few days. I tried to check in.
The big thing is this ice cream thing. You know, we're listening to this. There's a lot of people calling about this ice cream law so that this guy is
I've got a little different take on it,
okay.
So here's my minute.
Okay.
You know, obviously the ordinance hasn't been looked at for quite some time, and now the ice cream service company that is in question knew that the ordinance said that you couldn't operate on Sunday. Now, he did violate that, and that's what brought this forward down in the Parkview neighborhood. And but we're going to address this issue. The city clerk did want to take the time to redo the ordinance in a good manner.
Okay. All right, we've got to take a break here for the news. We'll be right back with Mayor Patrick Jones. Our 1460, it's 8:34 in the morning. This portion of the show brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop. DC Tim and the Man in Black, great haircuts, great prices. If you're a veteran, you get a discount right there on Cypress Square, right off Athens. Man's Last Stronghold. Go down there. I'm going down today to get a haircut. Just go on down and check out the place. They're great.
Well, we have an announcement to make here.
Oh, okay. Well, what's the announcement we're going to make?
Well, the announcement is that we're killing the chat room. Somebody's come in, and they're not playing nice, and they got a hold of something. And so, Bob?
Well, we're in touch with our IT people, and we'll find out what's going on. But we may be the victim of a prank, and we'll find out what's happening, and our IT person is on it.
Okay, enough of that. Our guest is Mayor Patrick Jones, and our first caller is Ray Thomas from the IBEW. Now, Ray, you didn't know Patrick was going to be here. We didn't either. So what's your question or statement?
I wanted to offer a comment regarding the I'm out of town, but I heard that you discussed the IBEW ad, a radio ad that we're playing on various stations, including yours. And I wanted to clarify that the intent is focused on the fact that there are quite a few big monetary, financial situations facing the city of Redding. That includes improvements to the infrastructure of the city. They have huge financial impacts on our future. And those things, such as the Oasis road area, the consideration for changes there, where stimulus money is spent is important, but they don't make they don't qualify for ballot measures because the majority of council doesn't want to put those issues on ballot measures. So that was the intent of the spot.
Well, you know, Ray, that is. You know, that part was very understandable. I had, you know, as there was, I had no problem with that. And I would, and my thing was that the tone of it, you know, dictators, you know, some things that were said in it was questioned in the paper. And my part, the reason I brought it up was the tenor of the ad that we're all citizens here, and after November 2nd, we're all community members that we're all going to have to work together. So, are you right on if there's one big measure, why is that going on a ballot and something else doesn't? You're perfectly right to ask that question. I agree with that. So that's what I was talking about yesterday. Do you have something for Patrick?
Yeah, I do. Patrick, good morning.
Good morning, Ray. How are you?
I'm doing great. I had listened to your ad on, I believe it was one of the radio stations, right? That there was an ad that, that compared the average $30,000 income for Reading residents versus $118,000 for City of Reading employees.
Yes.
The it comes across to me, although you say it very nicely, it comes across as disingenuous from the standpoint of $30,000, number one, when you use average wages for private sector, it's going to include unemployed. It's not going to include the benefits, health and welfare benefits, the pensions, and also we don't provide the service, the service type of jobs that the majority of the workers in Reading provide, the private sector workers. If we were working in retail, selling clothing or hamburgers, which there's nothing wrong with that work, but we don't perform it. It's an apples and orange comparison. It comes across disingenuous when you don't know the wages and benefits of these private sector employees.
Well, thanks for the question, Ray, but the reality is that even myself, I make less than $40,000 a year. I've worked in the same business for over 30 years, and I'm not much different than many people here in Reading. And the reality today is that we have benefits that we cannot afford today, and that was the point of the ad. It was a truthful ad, and what it was bringing up is that we are on an unsustainable course that we must change our benefits. And when we have allowed ourselves, because of lack of political will from past councils, to get ourselves into a $85 million post-retirement health care unfunded liability issue, these are issues that need to be talked about. And so I use that dollar amount because it's a real amount. That is the average. And the reality is Reading is not a wealthy town. For most working-class people here, when they see that $118,000 in pay and benefits, that's a real number. That comes right out of the stats. And that's going to, I think it is a genuine statement, and, you know, and well, so it certainly needs to be talked about. And,
well, if you don't mind, one of the things that makes it very disingenuous to me, Patrick, is it doesn't include the private sector wages or benefits and pensions, number one. Number two, the other thing that it's very disingenuous about is you don't include the millionaires in those private sector wages. You've got, several millionaires in town, CEOs in town making hundreds of thousands of dollars. They're not included in that $30,000, yet the top paid professionals at the City of Reading are included in the rank and file. It's a disingenuous comparison. To say it's fair and you have no idea what their pensions or health and welfare costs are or values are in your total compensation, when you throw ours in from the City of Reading, it's not fair.
Well, I would disagree. And once again, I've been in Reading long enough to know what most people make as an average. And I may not know what every CEO here in Reading makes, but I do know this, that the course that the City of Reading is on is an unsustainable course, and we have to change the benefits that we cannot afford them. And that is true. And it needs to be addressed, and council must come up with the political will today to deal with the problems today until they become, you know, or they will become a serious issue for the City of Reading.
Yeah. Fair enough. Fair enough. Yeah, when the average worker within our maintenance unit is making a base salary of about $45,000 and they have to have distribution, water treatment certificates, backflow certificates, confined space certificates, things that you don't normally find in the service jobs in Reading, I think it's disingenuous. And to say $118,000 when you don't know what the health and welfare and pension values are for the private sector really skews your ad.
Well, once again, Ray, that you're using your base pay, you know, and it's nice if you continue to use that base pay dollar amount because it's a reasonable amount. But throw in the benefits, and there is the problem that we have. So you're being disingenuous.
That's what I'm asking you to do on the private sector.
Well,
it's very convenient for you to say $30,000 when you don't use the benefits.
Hey, Ray, can I get you all together sometime on the show? because we've got to I've got to take a break, and we've got other people lined up here to make a phone call. So we will be
ready to go Monday.
Okay, let me give you a call, but it'll be before the election. I promise you that.
I look forward to it.
Okay, thanks a lot, Ray, for your phone call. We've got to take a break. Steve, you're up right after that. This is Carl Lindebach, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Welcome back to Free Fire Tobacco on KCNR 1460. This portion of the show brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. We're going to be there today at noontime with Gary Cadd to join us and meet the candidates. Come on down. There'll be a lunch down there. And get to ask them a question from 12 to 1 at Tobacco and Brew. Plus, you can get into that great humidor and buy a cigar and smoke one outside with me. And we'll just discuss what's going on. Hey, our guest is Mayor Patrick Jones. We've got the phone lines lit up. The chat room went down because some jerk named Heather jumped in and hijacked our chat room. So, Heather, bad Heather. Okay, Steve, you're on.
Hey, how's it going today?
It's going fine, Steve. Thanks for waiting.
Hey, not a problem. Hey, I'm a contractor in town, so I have a question for Patrick.
Okay.
I belong to the Builders Exchange. The sad part is if I don't pay my dues to the Village Exchange, I don't get any bids in town. So it's kind of a good old boys mentality. So I think it's kind of wrong that the Village Exchange ride the coattails of the city. So my question to Patrick would be, why do the ratepayers subsidize the contractors in this city?
Well,
let me give you an example.
Yeah.
So let's say when a contractor is going into a subdivision, a developer will come in first and build the streets, the curbs, and the utilities. And on the electric side, the developer gets free cable, free transformers, and free labor from the city. And in that same trench line, you would have, let's say, PG&E gas, you'd have TV cable, you'd have phone. None of that is for free. So,
well, first,
again, my question to Patrick would be, why do the ratepayers subsidize these contractors in town?
Well, first, you had a couple questions there. First, talking about the Builders Exchange and not being supported if you don't pay your dues. I have no knowledge of that. So I certainly that does not sound, you know, appropriate. And so I do not support that type of behavior. But I have no knowledge of it. But I'll certainly talk to Mr. Dagg and ask him that question. That is the first that anyone has posed that question to me. So I will check into that. The second question is developers. You know, they do pay a tremendous amount of impact fees, and I think if you were a developer here in the city of Reading and you had bought a piece of property, then subdivided it, and then started getting all your fees, you would see just how astronomically high it is here. And most developers struggle to be able to get something on the ground and moving forward and still make a profit. I can't tell you how many developers come to me with a variety of issues and say, this will not pencil out. We cannot do this. It's not going to work. We can't build any homes if we can't at least break even. So it might seem like the developer is getting wealthy from the city, but the reality is most of the impact fees are extremely high. And if reelected, one of the issues, many issues out there that we need to deal with on an ongoing basis, but one of those issues is an impact fee nexus to make sure that we are not overcharging on impact fees beyond what the law allows and what is equitable and fair here in the city of Reading. This city is not done growing. We still are preparing for the future. And
so you're saying that giving away free material and free labor from the city side is...
Well, no, I didn't. I didn't say that.
Because the fees are too high.
Well, again, they're being charged fees, so when you're saying free...
Let me put this for you. I had a job out on Tarmac in Shasta View, okay? The fees there were... The material and labor was $275,000 that we got for free. We paid $15,000 of that. So I am a ratepayer in this town. I am a builder in this town, but I find it terribly sad that these people who are paying the rates are subsidizing us.
Well,
and what's going to happen is developers get richer and the ratepayers pay higher. That's the bottom line.
Well, again, I would have
to throw your little slogan out saying that you're going to do this, this. But this has been going on for since 97. 97 was the first time they've ever paid, ever, and that was the only time they paid.
Well, again,
so you've been there 4 years and nothing's been done.
Well, I'm going to interrupt you right there. Have you ever came to me in those 4 years and asked to take a look at this issue? Because that's what we do. Have you ever done that?
Do you know that they get it for free?
I don't believe it. And
you don't believe it.
I do not believe it, and I would need, and that's the whole point of having council members, is for people like yourselves to come to us and ask these questions, and we will dive and dig into it and try to fix it. We're not here to rape the ratepayers. In fact, we want to reduce the rates that we have currently, and it's a challenge. But if you don't come to us and ask these questions, how are we supposed to dig into them and take a look and see if something is inappropriate?
Okay.
Steve,
hang on for a second. We've got to take a break. But Steve, and we've got other people lined up. Steve, this is really interesting. And this is something that, if this is happening, and you're looking at it from your view, and you say, hey, it is happening, you know, we need to follow up on this. And so,
Carl,
yeah,
millions of dollars, Carl.
Well,
millions that the city's given away to these developers.
Well,
it's wrong. Patrick's being endorsed by Village of Exchange, so of course he's going to say, I don't know anything about it.
Well,
because if he blows the whistle on this, he's not even in there.
Hey, Steve, I tell you what, 605-4565 is my office. Why don't you give me a call after we're off the show?
So, not a problem.
So we can,
we'll call Mobley, too. We'll let him know.
Okay. All right.
All right.
All right. Thanks a lot for your phone call.
I mean, it's interesting, Steve, that you haven't ever come to me. Certainly, I've been mayor for the last year, but yet not once have you ever come to me and asked such a specific question. Now, I talk to Scott Mobley on a weekly basis. Very transparent, very open, and we're trying to solve things here at the City of Reading, and we work for the people. We work for you, Steve. But if you're not bringing that information forward so we can dive into it, how is it ever going to get addressed?
Yeah, well, that's it. You know, here's the other thing. We've got to take a break because we're way behind here. 605-4565 is our office number. You got something like this and you can't get a hold of, you know, this needs to be raised. We're good people here to do that because we're not afraid to ask questions for any side here. Main thing is taking care of our community. Hey, Carl and DeBott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460.
Down.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Carl and Linda Bott, good morning. October the 15th, it's a Friday, it's 8:55. We got like 4.5 minutes left. Our guest is Mayor Patrick Jones, and on the phone is John. Good morning, John. Thanks for holding.
Good morning, Carl, Linda, Dad, Bob.
Good morning.
Missing Heather, who co-opted the chat room.
I don't understand that. Bad girl.
And we don't know if that was a girl or a boy. Heather could just be, who knows?
Bad Heather, bad.
Welcome back, Patrick.
Oh, thank you.
I'm not sure that private citizen income is the correct method of gauging whether or not we can afford these contracts. Ray was using various talking points, as far as I'm concerned, to incorrectly address a very real problem in Reading regarding whether citizens can afford to continue to pay these overinflated contracts. I'm real concerned about this slate of candidates that's being run by the union. It happened down in Vallejo. They elected a slate of majority candidates that supported union positions. They increased the overall use of the general fund to 85% for public safety and various employee unions and bankrupted the city, at which point police no longer are Vallejo police. They're Contra Costa sheriffs that handle that.
Correct.
Now, I think that this thing is just a mess. I'm not sure what's going to happen, and I'm not sure what's going to come up. I'm real worried about this slate of candidates getting elected. I don't know what's going to happen if it does happen. The contracts are not sustainable.
Well, you're absolutely right, and these are some good questions in there. I think all the candidates and the council today agree that the benefits are unsustainable, and we've tried to address them the best that we can, and it's been tough. The unions are very powerful, and going up against them takes strong political will. It's essentially why we created the ballot measures to try to tie the hands of future council members the best that the law would allow, not being a non-charter city, so that we could address these issues because council has not had the political will. I'm very proud in the last 2 years that the majority of city council has had the backbone, the fortitude, to stand up to say we cannot afford some of these benefits. The $85 million unfunded post-retirement system that we have is not sustainable, that we're using too much of the general fund for pay and benefits, and that they must be reduced. Now, keep in mind, we're talking about reducing benefits to a level that's what we see in most of the nation, something sensible. They're still going to have excellent benefits. We have good city workers, excellent city workers, in fact. But we can't sustain the Cadillac plan that we have today. It's what Measure A and B is all about. It's why the unions are spending money against those measures, and it's why they've slated three people to try to continue to support things that are unsustainable. And if this majority continues on, we will address these tough issues. We still are going to respect our city workers because we have excellent city workers. But we have to take on the tough task of managing our budget and live within our means. It will not be easy, and it's certainly not fun, but it's something we have to do.
We have 1 minute here. So, hey, John, thanks a lot for your phone
call.
Could
I ask one more quick question?
It's got to be like 5 seconds.
It's going to be that. How did Mr. Bassetti co-opt the funds to build a road to his ballpark? I'm really confused about this and would like to know how he single-handedly did that.
Well, I don't think he did.
Thanks, John.
That's a better question for Mr. Bassetti, but I really don't think he did, so I think that is a question better for him. But, you know, Carl and Linda, thank you for having me on today. I appreciate the time. I apologize for being late.
Well,
I got
thanks
in.
For rolling in after 16
in.
Hours
yeah.
on the road.
We're going to have, in the next couple of weeks, we're going to really push to have, the propositions out, the candidates on, so people can get that last one. Today at noontime.
Tobacco and Brew.
Gary Tad will be there and ask him the questions. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio. Just remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?
This is KCNR, Shasta Redding.